It's Weekend Edition on Michigan Radio.
The advice, never use the passive voice, is a bit too sweeping to be entirely helpful.
That's what they say. Good morning, I'm Rena Miller, and joining us now is University of Michigan English professor Ann Curzan. Good morning to you, Ann.
Good morning, Rena.
So, passive voice. Give us an example of something in passive voice.
I will give you an example from something that I was writing, which had me thinking about the passive voice. I was writing my blog post for Lingua Franca, and my first two sentences were, I have a new favorite mug. It was given to me by graduate students.
Mm-hmm.
It was given to me, passive voice. The students gave it to me. It was given to me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as I wrote it, I thought, I wonder if some of the readers of this column, who pay very, very careful attention to language, are going to criticize me for using a passive right here.
Mm-hmm.
But in fact, the passive works well there because I have said, I have a new favorite mug, and then I want to have continuity to the next sentence. So I say, it was given to me because I'm referring to the mug. I could have put it in the active. I have a new favorite mug. Graduate students gave it to me. But that's kind of a choppy couple of sentences.
Mm-hmm.
So I use the passive voice. But there is this advice out there. And when I ask students, what advice have you gotten about how to write? They say, don't use the passive voice.
And your point is, yes, you can.
You can sometimes. Now, it is true that I will see some pretty awkward passives in students' writing sometimes and in lots of other people's writing. And a couple of examples, one that I remember from a student's paper, they were describing a scene and they said, the exam began, the shuffling of paper was heard in the room. And I thought, who's hearing the shuffling of the paper?
Yeah.
When you make that passive, the shuffling of paper was heard, you introduce some weird invisible presence that's hearing things, as opposed to the shuffling of paper filled the room.
Oh, you mean that presence that's in my head all the time. That one?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And another kind of passive that doesn't work so well, for example, a more streamlined process was envisioned by the committee.
Yeah.
Right. Just let the committee do what the committee's doing.
Yep.
But when you think about something like scientific writing, it is filled with the passive voice because in some ways we think about that as making it more objective. It makes it sound more objective. When we say the specimen was transferred to the petri dish and examined for blah, 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 it sounds more scientific than I took the specimen and I put it in the petri dish.
Well, that's nerd speak, in other words, right?
It's now how we think about scientific writing.
Mm-hmm.
And in lots of academic writing, there's a passive you'll find a lot, which is, it could be argued.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I see a lot of times where we have young writers who were told never use the word said, when you can use so many other words instead of said. And what do you think we do? We rip all those words out of there and put said right back in.
Yeah, well, I think you're hitting on that balance we're often trying to achieve, for me, in academic writing, where you're trying to use some of the formal vocabulary that we associate with academia and with the fields in which we write, but you also want to balance it with some simpler, more colloquial language so that your readers don't get overwhelmed with the formality of it all.
With the snootiness of it all. Yeah, that's not a problem for you. Hey, Anne, thank you so much. Have a great Sunday.
Thanks, Rena.